Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to forgive as you have forgiven us. In Jesus' name, amen. For 15 years, the church made yearly trips to Alaska to lead vacation Bible school for some of the villages north of the Arctic Circle. One year, we took a 16-year-old girl named Amy. She was a real blessing to the team, but I gotta tell you a story. At the Anchorage airport, the TSA agent asked, "Do you have any liquids, gels, or a laptop computer?" Amy smiled and looked at him and said, "Well, I'm sure that you'll find him if I do." And you know what? He did. Scattered throughout her bag was lotion, shampoo, germ killer, and toothpaste. If I had said, "I'm sure you'll find him," I would have been escorted to one of those rooms that doesn't have a doorknob on the inside. But when you are a cute 16-year-old girl, the TSA agent carefully goes through your suitcase, finds all of the liquids, puts them in a quart, a zippered bag, and then ask you how you enjoyed your time in Alaska. Oh, the grace. Same year, a team from the Midwest was headed to a little town called Birch Creek. It is a tiny little village out on the river. They decided one of their crafts would be painting Bible verses on flat rocks. So they bought a bunch of flat rocks at Home Depot and put them in their suitcases. Oh, remember the days when suitcases were free? And they took them with them. They got to the village and they discovered that because the village was on a river, there were flat rocks everywhere, and they decided to use those flat rocks. So when Pilot Dan showed up to pick them up, he went to pick up one of their suitcases and just about tore his arm off, and he says, "What's in these suitcases?" And they said, "Rocks. We brought them to paint Bible verses on, but it turns out there's lots of rocks here, so we're taking our rocks home." Pilot Dan had a very different idea, contributed the rocks to the town, and then flew that team off into the sunset. Do you carry around a bunch of stuff that you don't need? Do you have a purse filled with all sorts of things just in case? How about a closet or a garage full of stuff that you haven't looked at in years? Ever gotten sciatica after sitting on a hard surface because your credit card is, well, it's filled your wallet to this thick and you're pushing on all those nerves? Ever get back and neck pain because you're carrying an overloaded purse or backpack? Today's gospel is about forgiveness. It's the core of the Christian life. It allows a Christian to unpack their emotional and spiritual baggage and make the journey without carrying a whole bunch of excess baggage that they don't need and that will weigh them down. Elizabeth Wurtzel, she wrote Prozac Nation. She once wrote, "I always carry lots of stuff with me wherever I roam. Always weighted down with books, with pens and paper, just in case I get the urge to sit down somewhere and, oh, I don't know, read something or write my masterpiece. I want all my important possessions, my worldly goods with me at all times. I want to hold what little sense of home I have left with me always. I feel so heavy all the time, so burdened. This must be a little bit like what it's like to be a bag lady, to drag your feet here, there, everywhere, and nowhere at all." There is so much we think that we have to keep with us. Things we don't want to forget. Things we don't want to forgive. We carry these burdens, wandering here, there, and nowhere, burdened by these things that Jesus has already taken care of and that we're not ready to give up yet. The world is all about feeling good. Now, they understand pain and problems and hurts and desires or accumulate when you're living. We call them sins and consequences, but the world doesn't believe in such things. To the world, the pain and hurt is the price of living, and the more you live, the higher the cost of living. They've never thought of unshouldering these burdens and leaving them behind. No, the world tries to overcome the burdens with pleasure. The heavier the load, the more pleasure you seek. For every pain, you do something to make you feel good. For every problem, find an escape. For every hurt, you hurt someone back. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." I don't know about you, but those have always been hard words to pray for me. Hey, God, forgive me just as I've forgiven everybody else, and there's a question mark. What if I don't forgive others? What does that do to my forgiveness? Jesus answered that in Matthew 6:14. If you forgive someone when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive someone their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Ouch. To be forgiven and to learn to forgive are the core teachings of the Christian faith. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we learn to embrace the forgiveness that Jesus has Well, that he's given us through the cross. I really think that only about 10% of Christians actually understand this. I mean, they say they do, but they don't live like it. And when it comes to the other, the ability to forgive others, I think less than 10% of us really understand what that means. If I came to church on Sunday with a backpack full of rocks and complained that I had a backache, you would tell me to stop carrying that backpack full of rocks. You would point to it and say, you know what? It's your own fault. You don't have to be a doctor or nurse to figure out what's causing my aches and pains. But when someone comes and says, I am carrying around a huge load of things that I cannot forget, that I am not willing to forgive, the people, this long list of that have harmed me and I am never, ever going to forgive them. Why don't we say it's time to learn to forgive and forget? Let Jesus carry those burdens for you. If a backpack full of rocks brings pain to the neck, back, and whole body, how much more does the unwillingness to forgive cripple the mind, the soul, and the body? Stanford, Yale, Harvard, and all the other big universities have all done studies showing that people who do not forgive have a higher rate of cancer, heart disease, and mental disorders. They can't put a direct medical link to it, but those who live angry, unforgiving lives are far more likely to die before their life expectancy is up. Secular research is trying to create a formula for a healthy, longer life. Forgive someone and add 2 hours to your life. Forgive a lot of people, add a lot of hours to your life. But forgiveness doesn't work that way. It's not as simple as the words. You see, as with all the Christian teachings, what matters is what's happening here, not here. My whole life I've heard people say, you know, just smile and say you're sorry or you're forgiven. You don't have to mean it. But confession or forgiveness doesn't mean anything if your heart is silently screaming words of hatred or pride. Let's set a few things straight. Forgiveness does not excuse or absolve someone for what they did. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you need to let them hurt you or hurt someone else ever again. Forgiving someone doesn't make you weak. When someone really hurts you, we want them to suffer as much as we suffered, which is why we're not going to forgive them. But that's where we make our fatal flaw. The other person doesn't deserve to be forgiven. That isn't the reason that we forgive. We forgive so we don't have to carry the anger, the hatred, or the pain anymore. We cannot allow them to continue to control us, to inflict pain on us by us saying, I'm not going to forgive you. Last week's lesson, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And if your enemy is hungry, feed him. In this way, you will heap burning coals on their head. There is nothing more brutal than forgiving someone and walking away from them because they've lost control over you. They can't handle it. And you hope it brings them to the ability to forgive you. See, if we only forgive those who deserve to be forgiven, we'd never, ever forgive anyone. Think about what it would take for someone to be forgiven. Saying they're sorry, doing an act of contrition, not doing it again, or maybe it would be the level of sin that they committed. A Category 1 sin is instantly forgivable. You're forgiven. A Category 2 sin takes a week. Category 3 sin takes a month. A Category 10 sin can never, ever be forgiven. Now, the Bible says that all sin, with the exception of the sin against the Holy Spirit, is forgivable. It didn't say the sin against Mitch or Bob or Susan. It said against the Holy Spirit, which is dying in unbelief by rejecting God. Every other sin is forgivable. We want to believe that there are sins that can't be forgiven, shouldn't be forgiven, because they are so horrible, so painful, that they have hurt us so badly. That's not what the Bible says. I know it's hard. When Jesus says, if you forgive a sin on earth, it's forgiven in heaven, he doesn't mean we get to decide what can and can't be forgiven. The Bible says, if you confess your sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive your sin. Forgiveness is for the guy who accidentally bumped you in line the other day, the one who cut you off in the H1 as he was weaving in and out trying to get 12 cars ahead of you. It's even for the people whose names have been filling our headlines lately. People who have committed such grievously terrible sins that as a nation we will never forget. We may not like it, but the ability to truly confess a sin, not just speak the words, but truly speak words that mean it. They come from a heart that is filled with faith. And only God knows whether or not the person is genuine, which is why God is the only one who knows when a sin is forgiven and when it isn't. Do you know why God left heaven and came to earth to die? So we could be forgiven. Today, the cross has become a piece of jewelry, a bumper sticker, a piece of glow-in-the-dark plastic, or a big piece of wood hanging at the front of a church. The cross is just a thing. But that's not what God had in mind when he sent his son to die on it. The cross is more than a symbol, more than a metaphor. The cross is the power, the promise, and the purpose of God. The cross only has power, purpose, and promise because of what Jesus did there. The cross must always be before us as God's declaration that nothing is impossible with him. There is always hope. Every single sin can be forgiven. To accept that God can forgive all of our sins on the cross is also to accept that God can forgive the sins of every other person. You can't have one without the other. If I'm going to be forgiven, everybody else has to be able to be forgiven. And the day may come when we need the assurance of love and mercy, and the whole judge not thing becomes real to us. Carrying suitcases full of rocks around doesn't make any sense. Neither does carrying around a load of people's sins that you're not going to forgive. Both cause a lot of unnecessary pain. And to be honest, both can easily be fixed. The first one by dumping it beside the runway. The other by dumping it at the foot of the cross. I'm pretty sure Amy knew that she had stuff in her carry-on that she wasn't supposed to have in there without it being in a zippered bag and separated. She packed her bag. She saw the signs. She heard the TSA agents yelling the instructions. She even saw the people in front of her pull out their little quart-sized plastic bags and put them in the little plastic bin to run through. She got away with saying, "If I do, I'm sure you'll find it," because she found an agent who had grace. You and I won't be able to get away with that when it comes to Jesus. When he asks, "Do you have anything to declare?" we need to say yes. A life full of sin, a life full of failure, a life full of things that I regret. And when you do, a miracle happens, and you'll get to experience what life is like when you aren't carrying around all of those things that you didn't want to forgive, didn't want to forget. It all starts at the cross. God forgiving you so that you can forgive everyone else. That really is the greatest miracle of all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.